Our reading for October 7th is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to finish up 2 Timothy today with just a final reading and a few comments. And then we will be going from here to Hebrews. This will be the last of the letters by the Apostle Paul, as far as we know. We don't know who the Hebrew writer exactly is, so I'm not going to attribute it to Paul, but we're going to go to Hebrews next. But let's finish up 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. So the very end of this last letter to Timothy is Paul giving a few instructions to him, giving some details about people that they know in common and other people that they have engaged with through their faith in the past. And he says, come to me soon. I think that Paul had some sense of urgency, not because he was worried about passing on from this life, but because he wanted to spend some time with Timothy and perhaps say some things in person that he has not said within the letter. That's just my supposition, but just thinking about why he would express that urgency to Timothy. In verse 11, he mentions Demas. Now I will point you back to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, when he mentions Luke greets you, as does Demas. So at the time of the writing of the book of Colossians, Demas was a faithful companion that was there with Paul and sending his greetings. But here in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he is saying that Demas had fallen in love with the present world and had deserted him. And that's a very real danger for Christians, is for them to lose sight of the service that they have engaged themselves in and decide that there's something in the world that attracts them to the point of going back to the world. It's very important that we realize that Satan's not ever going to give up. He's always going to be trying to tempt us. He's always going to be trying to convince us that there's something in this world that is worth setting God on the back burner for a while. And I think he even tries to convince us that, hey, you can do this for a little while. You know, God won't mind you refocusing yourself and you can come back to him later. The problem is people don't come back to him. Once you put God on the back burner, unless you decide to put God back in his rightful place, he tends to stay on that back burner, and you've put other things ahead of God. They become your idols, and those are the things that you serve. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. We need to not be engaged in those temporary pursuits that are in opposition to God, those things that aren't going to last. It doesn't matter how much pleasure you can gain from the world, it's all fleeting. It doesn't last. We want something lasting. That's where the hope of the Christian comes in, that hope of home with God. As Brother Terry Slack so aptly pointed out to us this week during our gospel meeting, that we want to be at home with God, in his house, in his presence. And that's where we should be focusing ourselves. Now, he mentions a couple of other individuals, including Titus chapter 4, verse 10. I wouldn't read too much into that. I don't think that we could take the language to say that they also deserted him, but to say that he does not have them here with him any longer. He says in verse 11, Luke alone is with me. Luke is faithful to him. Get Mark and bring him with you. We've talked before about the dispute that Paul had with Barnabas over Mark. And it's good to see the reminder here that at the end of this letter that he had overcome that and could see the value of Mark, and that Mark had overcome those difficulties in his life so that he was a faithful servant of the Lord as well. He even describes him as very useful to me for ministry. Verse 12, he's sent Tychicus over to Ephesus. Verse 13, bring the cloak that I left behind, the books, the parchments. We don't know anything about what books they are or what parchments they are. It doesn't really matter. These are just personal instructions to Timothy about a few things for him to bring. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, we have Hymenaeus and Alexander being mentioned. It's possible this is the same Alexander, though he identifies him here as Alexander the coppersmith. He's not specific as to what type of harm was done. Maybe it was false teaching, maybe it was some opposition, and maybe even it was personal harm. I don't know. It's anything I would say about that would be complete guesses on my part. So I'm not going to make that type of a guess without any sort of evidence to point me in one direction or the other. However, if we do take it to be the same Alexander, then we know that there was some false teaching that was going on, and that was part of the problem that was regarding the resurrection. He says in verse 15, beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Again, that can be false teaching, that can be causing trouble, and that can be a physical opposition. I personally tend to go with it probably being the same Alexander as in the first letter. But again, I don't have any strong evidence to give me some type of a definitive answer. So I'm not going to tell you to believe the same thing. Just that's what I tend to think myself personally. Verse 15, beware of him yourself. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. We've already talked about the fact that Paul was very much focused upon by the Judaizing teachers and even some of the pagan leaders as well. He was one of the guys that was traveling all over the world, and he was having success in preaching the gospel. And he was probably out front. He for boldness, so I can see that, he was that focused to the point that others may have felt like if they went to his defense, they might likewise be arrested. They might likewise be lumped in with him. And while that's not necessarily the right attitude to take, Paul understands it. He has a forgiving attitude, an attitude of love toward others, and he says, don't let it be charged against them. He's not judging them for it, and he's asking for no one else to be judging them for it. Verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. We might think, for example, Philippians 4, verse 13, when he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And before that, he had talked about all the situations he had found himself in, being in need or being low or how to abound or facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He points out that God has always carried him through and always provided the strength to do what he needed to do. And so here in writing to Timothy, he's expressing that same type of confidence, though in a different way. And he realizes that anything that he has accomplished has only been because of the strength and the grace of God. And so he says, I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. It doesn't mean nothing bad would ever happen to him, but it means that his ultimate hope would not change based on the circumstances of this life. It's important for us to realize as well. And so his answer to all this is, to him be the glory. To him be all glory. Then verse 19 through 22, just mentioning of a few last people, and telling him about Erastus, Trophimus, who was ill. Again, do your best to come to me. Greetings that are sent to him. And then his final statement, the Lord be with your spirit and grace be with you. All right, that finishes up the book of 2 Timothy. Please come back tomorrow and we will start in the book of Hebrews. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.